Good morning, church. It's me again. I have more to say today. It's good to see you today, and what a joy to hear the good reports from the youth camp. God is at work in our midst. Thank God for his goodness. And this is today's message is another part of the sermon series on God's will. And on this family fifth Sunday, I know that we have, I think it's kindergartners went to Kids Zone, is that correct? But we have first through fifth graders here. And first through fifth graders, can you just raise your hand? I want to see where you are. First through fifth graders. Okay? And sixth graders through 12th graders, would you raise your hand? I want to see where you are today. Okay? Thank you. And adults, I see where you are. So I won't ask you, but if you'd like to raise your hand, you certainly can. But first through fifth graders, this message is for you. Sixth through 12th graders, this message is for you. Adults of all ages, this message is for us, all of us. My topic today is secret sins. That's where we're going to start. Where we're going to end up is what you saw in the bulletin for the sermon title. But we're going to start with secret sins. But before we talk about secret sins, what is sin? What is sin? Well, here's a working definition: that sin is missing the mark. God says, don't lie, and instead we lie. God says, don't steal, and we steal. God says, be kind to one another, instead we are mean. God says, honor your father and mother, instead we dishonor and disrespect our parents. Sin can be in what you say, what you do, what you think, and how you treat other people. So that's a little bit about sin. So then, what is a secret sin? Well, here's some thoughts. A secret sin is where you hide the fact that you have sinned so that no one else knows what you did. Here's some examples. Students, look at me, students, I'm talking to you now. Let's say that your mom told you to go to your room, put your toys back in the toy box, and put your dirty clothes in the laundry basket. Okay, got that? Instead, you push all your toys and dirty clothes under your bed so that your mom can't see them. When she comes in to inspect your room, she sees a neat room. But she doesn't realize that instead of putting everything away, you pushed it under your bed. You may get away with that once or twice, but moms and dads are pretty smart. And eventually, they will figure out your tricks. Students, again, let's say that last Sunday night, a week ago, your mom or dad told you that effective immediately, you will turn the lights off in your bedroom, no talking, all electronic devices off, games turned off, and all quiet at 9:30 p.m. Did you hear that? 9:30 p.m. Well, parents expect you to obey that. But let's say that at 9:30 p.m., you are still playing the game, still messing around on your electronic device, and you continue to play the game until you fall asleep at 2 a.m. The next morning, it's, for some reason, it's hard for you to get up. When your mom asks you if you followed her new rule and turned off the lights, as she said, you say with a smile, "Yes, Mom." And by the way, you just lied. When she comments that you are kind of slow moving, you say, "I'm just not feeling well today." Well, there was line number two. You were not honest. You hid what you did. That's a secret sin. Well, let me tell you, in my own life, when I was growing up, I was guilty of secret sins in many different areas. And I'm also going to say that today, however, I'm not going into details about those secret sins because I don't want to give any ideas to the students. Okay? And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the Lord convicted me of those secret sins, and I confessed them as sin. I repented, and the Holy Spirit has changed me. And I thank God for that. So let's look at some scripture passages that talk about secret sins. And if you would turn in your Bible, please, to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 3. That's where we're going to start on the bus journey today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And I think that verse is up on the screen. It says, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees." Wait a minute. What's going on here? Who's involved? Where is this? What's happening? Well, let's also talk about what just happened before this. Adam and Eve just sinned. They had just disobeyed God. The Garden of Eden had been a place of refreshment and joy. Now, after their sin, the Garden of Eden was a place where they were afraid and they hid from God, as it says in this verse. Adam and Eve talked with God about what they did, and God told them what the consequences were for their choices. And God sent them out of the Garden of Eden. They hid from God. They tried to keep something secret from God, and it didn't work. God knew their sin. They knew their sin, and they tried to conceal it. The consequences were out of the garden, and a lot more that went with that, as God described further the rest of chapter 3 in Genesis. But we're not going to go into that today. But here early in the book, didn't take long for secret sin to start. Let's go on in our bus ride today. Turn, please, over to Job chapter 31. Where's Job? We'll find Psalms, and then you'll find Job just before Psalms. Job chapter 31, verse 33. We're going to look at this verse because it also speaks about secret sin. Job is speaking here. He's talking to his friends. And he says in verse 33, "Have I tried to hide my sins like other people do, concealing my guilt in my heart?" Hide and conceal. That's what Job was talking about in his own life. The New American Standard Bible says it this way: "Have I covered my transgressions like Adam, or like people, or like mankind? Have I tried to cover my transgressions?" So in this passage, Job was talking to his illustrious friends, and sorry for a moment of lightness, but one of his friends was the shortest man in the Bible. Who was that? Bildad the Shuhite. Come on, folks, laugh a little bit. That was a dad joke, sorry. Bildad the Shuhite was one of the guys that Job was talking to. Okay, bad joke. I got your attention, though, didn't I? So going on, let's look in Psalm 19, please. Go from the book of Job to the book of Psalms. Job 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. Well, if you go back and read all of Psalm 19, if you start at the very top of Psalm 19 in the subscript, it says, "For the choir director, a psalm of David." David praised God for his glory. And then he got to verse 12, where he speaks of hidden faults. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 12. It says, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults." Hidden, concealed, secret faults that I'm trying to keep from God. The King James Version calls hidden faults secret faults. The word secret in Hebrew means concealed or to hide by covering something so it is not seen. That's what David was speaking of here. Do you know that there are a lot of sins that try to lurk in our hearts, that try to tempt us to do this or to do that? A lot of things try to tempt us. Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Let me have a life that's transparent and not a life of hiding from God like Adam and Eve tried to do, or like Job mentioned in Job 31, or like David is talking about in Psalm 19. We know from David's life that he had several problems with sin. And you can read on your own time Psalm 51, which describes his acknowledgement of the sin in his life. Sometimes we sin without knowing it. With secret sins, when we sin, we know that we did that thing, and we know it's wrong, and we try to hide the fact that we did it. So why is it important to talk about secret sins? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we are tempted every day to sin secretly. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of secret sins, we can open our hearts to the Lord, confess and resolve them, and move on. But I'm going to get to that part a little bit later. But again, back to you students. Are you listening to me? Students, last week I told the church about my mother. My mother told me that she had eyes on the back of her head and she could see what I was doing. Do any of you remember I said that last week? Okay, good. You were listening. She said she knew if I did something sneaky. And that was true. She always found me out. And even when my dad was away for 2 years with the U.S. Army in Asia on tours of duty, she knew. She kept track of what I was doing. That was true. She always found me out. When I was sneaky and tried to get away with things, I always got caught. And like I mentioned last week, it helped that my little brother was a tattletale. And he told her when I did something wrong. And I love my brother. I don't call him a little brother anymore. He's in his 60s also. But students, if you are being sneaky today and trying to get away with something, your mother probably knows about it. Plus, God knows about it. God knows what you are thinking about, students. He can read your texts on your smartphone. He knows what you are looking at on your smartphone, if you have one. He reads your mail and your email. He does? Yes, he does. Because he happens to be God. And he happens to think he knows everything. And he does, because he's God. He is God. We call that all-knowing. You and I really aren't doing anything in secret. We just think it's a secret. Well, I've talked to the students. Adults, here's something for you. The message of secret sins also relates to us. You may be doing something that you're trying to hide from your husband, from your wife, from your boss, your family, or your friends. Like I said to the kids a few moments ago, we may think that no one else knows about our secret sins, but God knows what we are thinking about, what we are looking at, what we are obsessed with, and what is distracting us from having a closer walk with Him. He really does. And if you are secretly sinning, stop going through the motions with God. He is not impressed by how you act. God wants your heart. He's not just after your good behavior. God is not impressed, and you are not deceiving God. He knows exactly what you are doing. You are deceiving yourself. So let's look at some other scripture that addresses secret sin. If you would stay in the book of Psalms and turn over to Psalm 32 with me, please. Verse 3 says, well, let me just say this about, before I get to verse 3, about Psalm 32. It's another psalm of David, just like Psalm 19. David is expressing joy for the gift of God's forgiveness, for those who confess their sins and want the Lord to have his way in their lives. David is talking to God in front of the other worshipers. And the word maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, is a Hebrew word. And this, in some translations, it says a maskil of David. A maskil is a Hebrew word that means the Psalms that give some instruction on living a godly life. So there's some instruction to us in this psalm about living a godly life. So we get to verse 3, where it says, "When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long." Well, let me ask you this. Have you experienced that kind of feeling in your own life? First of all, you don't have to answer this question out loud, but to yourself. Are there times that you have refused to confess your sin? Where you go, I'm not gonna acknowledge that. I'm holding on to that. There probably are times that we have all refused to confess, either because we're angry or we're hurt or we're deceived. Well, we feel the effects of that in our bodies. Verse 4, David goes on and he says, "Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat." That sounds kind of like the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to me. How about you? Have you experienced the convicting power of God in your life convicting you of sin? Sometimes we don't want to let go of it easily. But then we get to verse 5, and David says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." What I hear the psalmist expressing is a sense of relief. I finally gave in. I confessed it. I stopped trying to hide it. I stopped trying to conceal it. I stopped refusing. I just agreed with God and said, "You're right. I sinned. I need to stop. I need to change." What a sense of relief. Have you experienced that in the Lord? I hope that you have. I have too. So that's something that another place that David had to say about secret sins. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 28, the next book after Psalms. Proverbs 28, verse 13. It says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." Did you hear that? When we conceal sin, it brings pain to our souls. Well, what does it mean to confess sin? That's a real question. Have you thought about that? What does it mean? Well, I think it means I acknowledge. Yes, I did it. Yes, I missed the mark. Yes, I did that. What does it mean to turn from our sins? Well, students, here's a definition for the word repent for you. Are you ready? If I'm walking this way in sin and I repent, then I turn and I go the other direction, away from that sin, towards the things of God. I repent. I go the other direction. That's what repentance is. I change my behavior from doing that to going God's way instead. You see, as I said, this message is part of the series on the will of God. Well, the will of God is for us to confess and repent of our sins. That's part of the will of God. We need to agree with God when we sin. We need to own it and own up to it. Some places they say, man up and own up to it. I have sinned. What I did was wrong, and I repent. Those words need to come freely to our lips. We need to agree with God. Once we do that, He is faithful. Look with me, please, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, over in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament. 28:13, confess and turn and receive mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve, isn't it? Well, what's the difference between mercy and grace? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. 1 John 1, verse 9 says this, and if you have not memorized this verse, please memorize this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, if we acknowledge, God, I did this. I acknowledge it. I own up to it. We confess. We don't have to beg God, please, please, please forgive me. What does the scripture say? He is faithful and just. We need to repent and turn. God will be faithful to forgive us and to thoroughly cleanse us. Thoroughly cleanse our minds, our wills, our emotions, our attitudes, our lives. And He also can remove the guilt and shame that go with sin. We need to turn and go the other direction from secret sin. Life will be so much better without it. And as we think about what life is like as we pursue something different than secret sin, I have a suggested strategy for us, an approach to take to have a different kind of secret life. And when I use the word secret that way, I'm talking about spending secret, quality, private time with the Lord. In prayer, reading His Word, a place of solitude and quietness, where we can pour out our hearts to Him and be honest with Him without distraction. So let's think about that approach together for a few minutes. And if you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Please. And if you look at Matthew 6, you notice, if your translation is like mine, it's in red. What's that mean? The words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking. When Jesus speaks, We need to listen. And this is all part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you." And like I said, Jesus spoke these words in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, several chapters that are written in the book of Matthew about that contain those things that Jesus said, where he taught on many different topics. But here in Matthew 6, verse 6, he gave some specific guidelines to us for prayer. Find a quiet place. Shut the door behind you and pray to God by yourself. Well, if you go over a few chapters to Matthew 14, you're going to see something similar. Matthew 14, verse 23. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 in this chapter in Matthew 14. Just fed them. And he sent the disciples on ahead in a boat across the Sea of Galilee, and he said, I'll join you. Matthew 14, verse 23 says, "After sending them home, and the people home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone." And like I said, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and he sent the disciples in the boat across the Sea of Galilee. And after that, Jesus went and prayed. He spent time with his Father. He needed time with his Heavenly Father. Now, let me ask you this. If Jesus needed time with his Father, don't you and I also? Don't we? We do. And by the way, after that, Jesus walked on the water on the Sea of Galilee and came to his disciples on the water. So we're talking about God's will. God's will is, yes, for us to confess and repent of sin, but God's will is also for us to have a healthy relationship with him. So here's a question for all of us. Where can you go to be quiet with the Lord? Is there a room in your home or a place in your yard or your neighborhood or a park nearby where you like to go, where you can spend time with the Lord and read his word and pray? That's a real question, folks. You know, we think about New Year's resolutions around January 1st. Why not start a mid-year resolution around July 1st that will affect the second half of the year, which is making a resolution by God's grace to spend quality, quiet time with him, reading his word. Now, if you're like me, you don't like praying in a room and you don't like praying in a park, but I love walking and praying. And my family knows that, and many of you know because you like my photos on social media, that I go for walks in the morning with my dog. Quiet place down by the river, and I pray. And I reflect on the things of the Lord, and I enjoy the outdoors, and I get some exercise all at the same time. It's a time of prayer for me. We need to find a place. I'm urging you to find a place. Make a choice. Now, maybe you like to read a devotional guide. That's fine. Read that. Reflect on that. It's extremely hard, by the way, for us to get quiet. Have you noticed that? We are overstimulated people. We are distracted by this or that because we have short attention spans. Have you noticed that? We let our cell phones or other electronic devices distract us, don't we? Oh, I have to check my phone. I have to check my phone. Did I get a message? Oh, what did somebody say? What's going on the phone? We tell ourselves that we have to constantly check our phones. No, you don't. Sometimes we also can't focus on the Lord because things are weighing us down. We're anxious. We're afraid. We are anxious because of things like bills that are due. And we have more month than we have money to cover the bills. Or we're anxious about our jobs. Or we're anxious about our health. Or someone else's health that we love and care about. Or we're anxious about our daily responsibilities. I have so much to do. We can't focus. But we need to focus. We need to consciously lay down the things that weigh us down. We need to put aside our distractions. We need to put aside our electronic devices, carve out quiet time, a quiet place, and regular time with the Lord. And I challenge us to make a mid-year resolution. I'm going to spend time with the Lord the second half of this year. I'm going to read His Word. And He will meet us in those places of solitude. And let me say this. When you're in a quiet place, God wants your undivided attention. In other words, look Him in the eye. Focus on His Word. Focus on a verse. Focus on a single word in that verse. Reflect on that word all day. Just think about it. Let it go through your mind all day. Why not memorize that verse while you're at it? Let the Holy Spirit make an impression on you in that verse. Ask God for insights on that verse. Or that word. And by the way, He will. And then write them down so that you don't forget. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. What's today's date? June 30th. Okay. Would you open your Bibles to Proverbs 30? There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. 30 days hath September, April, June, and November. So today is the last day of June, right? Yes, it is. So here's how Carl does it. I like to read the proverb for the day of the month. So today's June 30th. I'd like to read Proverbs 30 today. Well, I want to read Proverbs 30, verses 1 through 9 to you today. The sayings of Agur, son of Japheth, contains this message. I am weary, O God. I am weary and worn out, O God. I am too stupid to be human, and I lack common sense. I have not mastered human wisdom, nor do I know the Holy One. Who but God goes up to heaven and comes back down? Who holds the wind in his fists? What's the answer to that question? God does. Who wraps up the oceans in his cloak? God does. Who has created the whole wide world? God has. What is his name and his son's name? Oh, I like the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Tell me if you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Oh God, I beg two factors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. Sounds kind of like how the Lord taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And then verse 9, for if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. There is a chunk of the 30th proverb, and you get to hear it on the 30th of September, of June. Well, I encourage you to read that again later today. And then again. And then again. Read it over. What words jump out at you? And then, I'm not going to read it to you now, but my favorite part of Proverbs 30 is verses 18 through 31. You should look it up. There are patterns of three and four things. And I love the description in Proverbs 30 of those three and four things. I encourage you to read it and think about it and reflect on it and ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight into his word. If you are reading something else in Scripture, wonderful. Keep reading it. But ask God to make it stick. Have a quiet place in your life, away from distractions, where you can focus on him. You can focus on a relationship with him. That's my challenges to us today. So in conclusion, if there's a secret sin or sins in your life, confess it and let go of it. Repent and turn and go the other direction. Stop trying to hide it. God knows. Be honest with yourself and with God. Get it right and move on. And instead of secret sins, I urge us to cultivate a secret, quiet life in Christ. A life that finds rest in him, where you have a quiet place to pray, to read his word, and spend time with him. And if you and I work on this, I believe we will find our love for him increasing. I'd like to invite Jeff and the worship team to please come up at this time. And my challenge to all of us is to think about what I had to say today. Look at your own life and be honest with yourself. Make amends with God if you need to. Confess and repent. Let the list of sins be short. Confessed, repented, forgiven, cleansed, and walk in a new and quiet place with God, where you're spending quality time with him, where you've made a choice to put aside the distractions and trust him.